The final presenter is Joelle Lester, who is a staff attorney at the Public Health Law Center at William Mitchell College of Law, and she is focused on tobacco control policy, especially litigation support to defend federal tobacco regulations and local initiatives from the tobacco industry. And the title of her presentation is Options to Regulate Non-Cigarette Tobacco Products.
Thank you. Good morning. So I will just start off by disclosing that I have no financial interest to disclose. And now we can move on. I want to just let you know that the substance of this presentation is expanded on an article by my colleague, and I have a few copies available if you'd like to get even more details and the nitty-gritty about regulating other tobacco products. He would love to present this himself, but his baby boy was born on Saturday in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he wanted to stay married, so he's there with his wife and child. So we have done some research looking at five categories of other tobacco products. And by other tobacco products, I just mean tobacco products beyond cigarettes. I'm not going to use OTPs or other tobacco products, even though that is a little imprecise since some of the products don't have tobacco in them. But I'll talk more about that in a moment. So I'm going to talk a little bit about these areas of innovative tobacco products, and then talk about how existing tobacco control regulation sometimes doesn't capture the products that are being marketed and distributed in our communities. So the first category is dissolvable tobacco products. Oh, and while I'm talking about this, my colleague Desmond is going to distribute some samples of these other tobacco products for you to take a look at, because if you're not a user, you probably haven't seen some of them, and it's just kind of interesting to handle them. They smell like death, so be forewarned. So the first example is dissolvable products. And so you have a couple of pictures here. These are products that don't require spitting. They are often made in capsules or in little strips that dissolve in your mouth. And they carry health risks, of course, including initiation and addiction. And sometimes they are used as a substitute when you aren't allowed to smoke a cigarette in a particular area, but you would use this product until you are allowed to smoke a cigarette again, so there's a dual use risk as well. And this is the dissolvable tobacco products are not currently regulated by the FDA. You might think that that would be a good area for the FDA to regulate, and you should let them know if you think that. But until the FDA takes action to regulate these products, it is something that you can regulate at the state and local level, and we encourage you to consider that. The second area of other tobacco products are electronic cigarettes. Electronic cigarettes don't actually include tobacco. It's a nicotine delivery device. They usually resemble a real cigarette pretty closely, and they're composed of a rechargeable battery-operated heating element, a replaceable cartridge that may contain nicotine and other chemicals, and an atomizer that, when heated, converts the contents of the cartridge into a vapor. And there are examples of this going around. It's just kind of interesting to see. They often include a little LED light to just increase the resemblance to an actual cigarette. There isn't as much known about electronic cigarettes in terms of data about the health impact or even much information about what chemicals are included in e-cigarettes. And so more information is needed. There is, of course, a risk of tobacco initiation and dual use with e-cigarettes as well. And there aren't manufacturing standards, which should be a cause of concern. The FDA did try to regulate e-cigarettes, not through the Center for Tobacco Products, but as a drug delivery device. Unfortunately, as Maggie mentioned, the tobacco companies challenged that through litigation, and they won. So I understand that the FDA Center for Tobacco Products intends to try to address e-cigarettes as a tobacco product in the future. I also just want to mention about e-cigarettes that when they were first on the market, they were not very accessible. You needed to buy a whole starter kit, and you can see that this starter kit, which was purchased a few years ago in North Dakota, cost almost $94, and it came with the e-cigarettes, a charger, a power line, two replacement cartridges, and a user's manual. So this isn't something a casual user would necessarily walk in and pick up in a convenience store. But more recently, they are being sold in single e-cigarette packages. And you can see this one was purchased last year by my colleague for $8. And actually, even more recently, we've seen them in Minnesota for $5. This individual e-cigarette, it says, includes 500 puffs. It's about the nicotine of about 2 packs of cigarettes for $5, which is about the cost of 1 pack of cigarettes, of actual cigarettes, in the state of Minnesota. So they're becoming much more accessible and therefore much more of a problem, particularly if you consider youth access and youth initiation as the cost is lowered. The third category of other tobacco products that we have studied is little cigars. That's actually a misnomer, of course, and often exploited by tobacco companies because there are most little cigars, there is little to distinguish them from a cigarette, but if they are categorized as a little cigar, they can avoid taxes and some other flavoring, characterizing flavoring prohibitions. So they carry all of the same health risks, of course, as cigarettes in terms of addiction and cancer risk. The difference between the many little cigars and cigarettes is in the wrapping paper. Cigarette wrapping paper is just paper, and a little cigar wrapping paper contains a little bit of tobacco. So it's really that minor of a difference. And then they avoid taxation and also the FDA's, or the Tobacco Control Act ban on characterizing flavors, which just applies to cigarettes. So if it's a little cigar, you can see the FAR package is peach flavored, and there's some of those circulating as well. And you can see who those are marketed to also when you look, consider the colors and the flavors that they're choosing. I believe we have a bubble gum or candy flavored one that's circulating as well. The fourth category that we studied is snus. Snus is the Swedish word for snuff, but it's actually a form of tobacco. It comes in a tea bag like pouch, and you put it between your lip and your gum. And it doesn't require spitting. In the U.S., both Marlboro and Camel market snus, and it's sold pretty much everywhere. The health effects that we know of are similar to those of, we've seen with dissolvable tobacco products, but there is more information on the health effects of snus because it has been marketed for a longer time in Sweden. I'm aware of at least one study showing a relationship between snus use and preterm birth, for example. And In the tobacco context, the harm reduction debate over the claims of harm reduction for certain tobacco products pretty much came into existence because of snus. The fifth category is water pipes or hookah pipes. And I wish I could have, we bought a hookah pipe for this kind of presentation, but it was hard to bring on the plane from Minnesota. So I'm sorry I don't have it for you. We had a mini one and a big one, and we all gathered in an office to ooh and ah over our new acquisition because they're really interesting and hard to put together. But these are gaining in popularity among college students and immigrant populations in the United States. Their health effects include initiation and continuation and dual use. They also have additional public health risks because there's a shared mouthpiece, so there's concerns about herpes, hepatitis, and tuberculosis as well. So given these categories of other tobacco products, I just want to talk a little bit about the options for regulating at a state and local level in a way that it captures these products. Most of the regulation options that you see in this list exist for cigarettes, and they are often structured or created in a way that doesn't address other tobacco products. And so we're going to talk a little bit also about a Minnesota example for changing that. But just to give you a quick overview, as Maggie talked about, states and localities retain the power to regulate the price of tobacco products, including OTPs. So you have tax laws, restrictions on free samples, coupons, discounts, and minimum pack sizes. There are restrictions on flavoring. The Tobacco Control Act did ban characterizing flavors other than menthol in cigarettes, but did not address other tobacco products. And then, of course, there's menthol, which is a huge, a very common characterizing flavor and a challenge that we need to address. And then there's youth access and youth restrictions as well. So these are all areas of restrictions that could be applied to other tobacco products. So I want to just give you one example of a tobacco control law that that was on the books in Minnesota that did not address all of the tobacco products that have been created since we enacted the law. And I think that in many of your states, you will find that you have similar problems with your tobacco control laws on the books if they haven't been updated more recently. So this was the definition in our tobacco tax law of tobacco products. As a lawyer, if you are a lawyer, you know that the definition section of a law is really important to how the law is implemented and how effective it is. It's really boring to most people, but it matters a lot in the effectiveness of tobacco control. So in this definition, which you can see was codified in 1997, the definition included a requirement that the product could be chewed or smoked. You can see I underlined the language there. And at the time, that probably seemed fine, but as we know, the tobacco companies work really hard to protect their interests, and they're always innovating and coming up with new ways for people to ingest tobacco products, and so all the things we just talked about might be excluded by this particular definition. These are other states, the states that are in blue, that have a similar problem in their tobacco tax law in particular. And then just to give you another variation, the red states are states that have a problem with their youth access laws because they only limit the use from tobacco products that can be smoked. And so arguably in these states, youth could consume dissolvable products, or they wouldn't be prohibited from buying and using dissolvable products. You might wonder if the tobacco industry knows about these gaps in regulation. And I would like to offer that I think they are aware. This is a packaging sent to us by a colleague at the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. And this particular product was marketed in, test marketed in North Carolina at the time. And you can see in the circled language there that it says not intended to be chewed or swallowed whole. So I think that they are looking at the definitions in our tobacco control laws and being really thoughtful about how to circumvent the law. Not that you really doubted that they were figuring out how to get around it, but just proof of that. So in 2010, we modernized Minnesota's tobacco control laws, and here's that same definition marked up to show the changes. So the underlined language is being added to the law, the stricken language is being deleted from the law, and the plain language is staying the same. And you can see that we deleted the chewing or smoking piece of the definition and added specifically dissolved to address some of the new products. And then you can also add language to capture more broadly just any way of ingesting tobacco, which is a good idea just in contemplation of the fact that the tobacco companies will continue to innovate and try to circumvent. We also added language at the end of this definition to specifically exclude FDA-approved products for tobacco cessation. So that's something to also consider in your statutory revisions. So just by updating the definitions in laws like a tobacco tax law, you can make sure that the novel tobacco products are included in your tobacco control efforts. I would also add that a statutory drafting challenge is sometimes once a definition is included in one part of your state statute, then it gets incorporated by reference into other parts of your state law. And so you need to make sure that all of your definitions are up to date to make sure that all of your tobacco control efforts are effective. So the opportunities for regulation of OTPs at the state and local level could include price restrictions such as strengthening your tax laws, also restricting free samples and coupon redemption on OTPs, requiring a minimum pack size for OTPs that are sold in a discrete unit. The minimum pack size restriction at the federal level is just for cigarettes. A prohibition on the sale of OTPs with characterizing flavors, including menthol. And on that one, I would just add that that is something that could be addressed at the federal level, at the FDA. And I believe the FDA, Ashley mentioned, has announced its intention to address other tobacco products, but they haven't done that yet. And so you can go ahead and take action at the state and local level in anticipation of the FDA taking action. You can strengthen your youth access laws ensuring that youth are prohibited from purchasing the dissolvables and other novel tobacco products in addition to cigarettes. There could be requirements that health warnings be posted at the point of sale. That one is, should obviously indicate to you that you might deal with litigation on that issue, and please call us and we will help you develop the strongest possible restriction, and then we'll help you defend it. There could be marketing restrictions on other tobacco products, as well as an outright prohibition on certain categories of tobacco products. So that should just give you a little overview. If you would make sure to return the tobacco products that are circulating by the end of the presentation, but we'll have a box of those and more at our exhibit booth if you want to come see and touch and feel for yourself the kinds of products that are being marketed in your communities. Thank you.